Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, you're about to enjoy Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. If you do like this show, it is free. You can pay us back in lots of different ways. One is to come and see me on tour. My show, Lord of the Dance Settee, is on tour right through January through to May 2015. I am coming to Northampton, Colchester, Aylesbury, Exeter, Cheddar. That's the big one. That's what everyone wants to see. Nottingham, Wolverhampton, Salford, Chorley, Brighton, Crawley, Maidenhead, Canterbury, Reading, that one always sells out, this tiny little venue. Book ahead. Didcot, that sells well as well. That's going to be a great 2 days in the middle of March. Winchester, Bristol, Newcastle, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Chesterfield, Norwich, Birmingham, Southend, Aldershot, that always sells out as well. Cambridge, Shoreham-by-Sea, really? Fucking hell, I'd go anywhere, wouldn't I? Cardiff, Bath, Andover, New Greenham Arts, Worthing, Forest Arts, I like any arts centre I'll go to. Portsmouth, Harlow, Bristol again, Monmouth, Shrewsbury, Stockton, on Tees, Leeds, Peterborough, London, Taunton, Swindon, Borden. That's not even a place. That's in Lord of the Rings. And Redhill. Go to richherring.com/gigs. You can see details of all of those. If you enough of you come to see that, I can then afford to do these things for free. Or you can go to gofasterstrike.com/badges and make a little donation to keep us going. Anyway, enough of that. Let's enjoy this week's guest on Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's part of the 200 Club on Pointless. Why didn't I say Joe Dolce? It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Hello, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as some of the cool kids have started to call it, Rahalastapa. That's what they're calling it now. I've been on tour this week, the week of the recording. It's been, it was Halloween this week. I hope you all had your pumpkins filled up and ready to go. No, you can't just do a pumpkin at the last minute. You have to prep. You and four friends have to prep for quite some time. But I hope you had a spooky Halloween. I was in Loughborough. In Halloween, which some people don't think is a real place. But that is actually a town that I lived in for 4 years, from 1972 to 1976. I was quite young then, I will give you that. It's the town where my current tour, Lord of the Dance Settee, that is where the title comes from. It was at Emmanuel School, and I can remember being in assembly and thinking those are the lyrics to Dance Dance Wherever You May Be for I Am the Lord of the Dance Settee. That's what I thought the lyrics were. It's also, that was the school where the Naughty Dog came into being. When I pooed my pants. I was an infant, right? Okay, in
I pooed my little tiny shorts, and then rather, I thought I could get away with it. I was wearing little red tiny shorts. I pooed, they were full of poo, and I thought I could get away with it. I can see out the 3 hours till home time with poo in my pants. And so when everyone went, "What's that smell?" I go, "There's a naughty dog outside." He's... And then every time, "Oh, that dog's back." But the ruse was up when part of the shit slipped out of my trousers onto the floor. It was hard to... I could have been, "Oh, the naughty dog has come in and done a very human-looking piece of excrement." So it was nice to be back in Loughborough after all this time. But I think they've... In the interim, I left in 1976. I think they were so upset that I left that they've kind of frozen it in time as a memorial to me. Because nothing is different than 1976. It was exactly... it's like it was. I felt very much like Gary Sparrow travelling back... It's good, so I thought, well, I'll have... I went to the first pub and got off with the first barmaid I saw. And the beauty of it is it's two different time zones. My wife could never find out what I did. Seriously, I'm just so glad I left. No offence to anyone listening in Loughborough, but I don't think they have the internet there, so I think we'll be fine. The first thing I saw in Loughborough was a heavily pregnant woman smoking, which I have not seen for a long, long time. It's the 90s. It was a beautiful place. I had a lot of affection for it as well. As thinking it, I was in Cafe Nero, which I was surprised they had one of those, but I think that might be the vortex by which you... It was actually a Costa, I tell a lie. Which is a bit more old-fashioned. And I did a fart in Costa, and it was quite a bad fart. It really smelt bad. But I realised I had slightly improved the smell of Loughborough overall. I forgot to say this, but me and my wife went to Highgate Cemetery last weekend, which is a very interesting thing to do. You should try it out. The grave of Karl Marx is there. Also, the real grave of Karl Marx is there. He's got two graves. I don't know if you know this. There's the official one with his big head on the top of it, and then there's his first one, because he became posthumously more famous than he was, and that is the worst kind of fame, posthumous famous. Don't get any of the benefits and you are dead. There was Douglas Adams' grave, which is kind of weird to see that. You know, you kind of think it's all going to be old people from the past, but that was quite a shocking thing to see. But it's quite nice because it's got a little jar at the front with people with biros that people have put in there as a tribute to him, which is a nice... thing. And but my favourite, though, was the grave of Patrick Caulfield, which he's an artist I hadn't heard of before, but his grave just has the word dead written, which I quite like, because that is, you know, that is what you're... Most people go, "Oh, he's asleep. Oh, he's just resting." Not Patrick Caulfield, dead, just in big capital letters. It's honest, isn't it? And it was quite striking. And, you know, that is good, because I didn't know anything about him before, but now I really like him. And every time anyone sees that for 100 years, they're going to laugh. And that is a good thing. And I said to my wife, one day, you know, we might be dead. And maybe someone will be walking past our grave. She said it probably wouldn't happen. So it's going to be all right. Let's hope not. I've been trying to think of a good epitaph. I might ask my guests about that. Who knows? I thought of a really good epitaph, and then I thought, I must remember that. And then I forgot what it was. So I think I might make my epitaph... He forgot what his epitaph was. He had a good one and he forgot it, which is quite a good one. But I don't think it's as good as the one I forgot. Anyway, we will crack on. Our first guest tonight is probably best known as Heat Magazine's weird crush of the year 2011. That is what he's mainly known for. Will you please welcome Richard Osman, ladies and gentlemen? Here he is, Richard Osman. Come on in, Richard, sit down. Pull up a microphone. Oops. There's water here. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm not so bad, actually. I've been quite tired, generally, in speaking, doing these, and I feel all right this week.
Last time I saw you, you were virtually in tears. Because you played so badly at Pointless.
I did play very badly. I was very, very upset. I am coming back on Pointless, Celebrities.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
And my wife genuinely said I might leave for the week, because I came back. I was quite good for about 4 or 5 hours, but the next day I was almost suicidally depressed. Have any contestants killed themselves after being Pointless yet?
They haven't. I mean, no. I would think, given your performance, you would be the closest.
It was very, very upsetting. It took me a long time to be able to laugh at all again. Let alone...
Even now, you're not really laughing.
I'm not really laughing. I'm very, very upset. Yeah. And so I am quite nervous. But I actually got to the point where 2 days after, I thought, this is so stupid that I'm this upset about it, that I have to change the way I look at my life and my general competitiveness. So I'm hoping that...
Well, I'm glad we helped. But then when it went out, that must have been terrible.
It was, but I was on tour. I haven't watched it.
Have you not? Or
no.
You should.
People were tweeting me, but not as much as I thought they would. I thought it would
good.
Be just a...
Well, you weren't really on long enough for people to tweet you.
It was very upsetting. And when you looked at the lineup, though, that was the... You know, if you'd looked at it and you were a betting person, and there was Timbrook Taylor and John Wells and... well, just them for a start on one end, and it was solo artists who got a number one in the 1980s and me and Rona Cameron who grew up in the 1980s. You'd think, I'm pretty sure which of those teams will go out with 200 if you were going to bet beforehand.
Yeah, you certainly would bet on the 2 80-year-old men.
he did very well. Adam Ant, that was he was lucky with Adam Ant.
Well, not lucky, to be fair. That's
well,
a
correct
good answer.
But he didn't know that it was, he didn't know Adam Ant had had a solo career as well.
Well, he said Adamant.
Or he didn't know. He didn't know that Adamant had been in a band, maybe, let's say. But yes, it was... I was forced into a corner, Richard. I was... It's a very... I love Pointless. I like it less now than I did before I was on it. But it's a very, very clever game because it's... you know, when I first saw it, I thought, they've just taken Family Fortunes and turned it around. That's
how dare you.
That's all they've done. And I think that's what you did do, but... Accidentally, you created a very clever quiz because it's easy as a quizzer to come up with the most obvious answer. It's very, you have to know, have a very in-depth knowledge to come up with anything.
Yeah, as we discovered when you were on.
But I knew too much. That was the. But then it happened. The reason is I was in a difficult position. I was on the team with a fucking idiot. That was the first problem, who, when asked for a 1980s solo number one, said T'Pau, which is not a solo. I think a lot of people don't realise. It was a good answer. It was a number one. It was 1980s.
But not a solo. Not a solo. It's Carole Decker, of course.
Yeah, Carole Decker. So then I didn't know, I hadn't really got enough of an idea of what the ballpark was. I didn't know that Michael Jackson would be 20. It was only 25. That was about the top answer, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought I have to go for something very obscure. And I should have said Joe Dolce, but I talked myself out. Joe Dolce.
What did you say? I forget.
I said Brian Ferry, which is a very, very clever answer. In so many ways, apart from it being wrong.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Because...
I'll tell you what you should have said, Adamant.
But then I'd have been in a lot of trouble because Timbrook Taylor
Timbrook
just
Taylor said
already
that. Said it. You can't.
And then I would have, you know, just gone, oh, he's a double idiot. No, because it was, I've never been so nervous on TV in my life. And I've done live TV, I've done Celebrity Mastermind, which was nerve wracking, but not as nerve wracking. And it takes ages to go back and forth up the, because you talk to everyone first.
Yeah.
And then you've got to talk to Alexander Armstrong. When you're trying to come up, think of your answer.
Well, and it's bad enough talking to him at the best of times.
It is.
Let alone when you're concentrating.
And the worst thing was, my voice went all. I literally did that. I was very, very nervous. So I was trying to think of the answer, and I thought I couldn't work out if things were definitely 1980s. I couldn't work out if things had definitely got to number one. So I knew that John Lennon had died in 1980. Should have just said John Lennon.
Yeah.
I was trying to be too clever, and I knew that Jealous Guy got to number one.
Yep.
And I was pretty sure that it was Brian Ferry's only number one, which I think it was, but he was part of Roxy Music.
Yep.
So I knew a lot of facts there, you see. So I was very, very clever. I was
outdone by my
cleverness.
All of this we had to edit out of the show. You did all of this at the time. But we had the other one went out the other day. We had Trevor and Simon on, who two heroes of mine, and they came on the first show. They're very big fans of the show, especially Simon. They came on the first show, got knocked out in the first round, and were gutted. And the second show that came on absolutely swept all before them.
Yeah.
Won the jackpot as well. No pressure, but that's what you should be doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it. We're recording it next week, actually. So another comedian special, and I'm on with Robert Webb. So I reckon I've got a chance now because he's probably quite clever, isn't he? If he turns out to be stupid, I'm going to be really...
That'd be gutting, wouldn't it?
If he puts me in the same position. But it's hard. It's a reminder. I play the Pointless app, as we did backstage.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Richard to read it out backstage.
It was a real kick for me, I can tell you.
I got a very good answer on the
you did,
Pointless
actually,
app.
Didn't you?
Yeah,
you got an anagram of a castle, didn't
did,
you?
I did. It was
say, say what the anagram was, see if anyone can work it out. Hot Wrinkle.
It was a Hot Wrinkle, yeah.
Hot Wrinkle.
Or Hot Wrinkle. Hot. Okay, anyone got it? Kenilworth, correct.
There you go.
Kenilworth Castle, three points. What were we saying? I've got confused. I've got upset. But no, it's a reminder that pointless of the decaying of my own brain. I think because I used to be very good at quizzes and retaining knowledge, and now when I play it, I go, and then I can't think of a single thing even.
Well, I like to think of the show as basically proving to people about the decaying of their own brain. Yeah. I think that's where its success comes from.
My own memory has let me down. While we're talking of old people watching Pointless, which is most of your audience, let's face it, I hate Dom Jolly. I hated him before he beat me on Pointless and then went to get the jackpot. But backstage, Dom Jolly said, I don't know anything about this show. It looks rubbish. It's just for students and old people. And I was very cross with him, and I thought, well, you'll see. There's no way fate will let you win the game and win the jackpot to add insult to injury. My mum has been in touch.
Good.
She's a big.
That's about time, isn't it?
It is.
Is she asking you about Loughborough?
She wasn't mentioned Loughborough. Though we did talk on the phone about Loughborough because our next door neighbours, Mr. and Mrs. Allen, came to see the show 40 years on, and they're in their 80s now. They quite enjoyed the Lord of the Dance set. There's something for everyone in there. And Claire Allen, their daughter, was my first girlfriend. We used to show each other our genitalia. So I didn't mention that to them. And
although to be fair, you just have.
I probably have. But you know, it's an innocent. It was the 1970s. It was an innocent time. My mum's, they're massive fans. This is the first time they've ever been in touch about my podcast and podcast guests. And my mum, although I'm not impressed with the way she phrases this, the title of the email is Margaret of Anjou.
Okay.
I think I am right in saying that Richard Osman said that Margaret of Anjou was the mother of the future Henry VII. She was, in fact, wife of Henry VI and mother of Edward, who died at Tewkesbury, I think. The mother of Henry VII was Margaret Beaufort. What have you got to say for yourself?
It sounds plausible. It does sound plausible. I'm not the world's leading Margaret of Anjou expert. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. Occasionally things come up and I think, yeah, I haven't got a lot of stuff on Margaret of Anjou.
Right.
She was called Margaret. She was involved with kings.
Yeah.
One way or another. Your mum may well be right.
She was so. Well, she was kind of proud that she was cleverer than you, but also she's going, he's so clever and he knows everything about everything. And I didn't want to say to her, there's a load of researchers and he's probably got an earpiece in and someone. She said, he's got his computer there. I didn't want to say, there's nothing on that computer, mum. It's just a prop.
She's actually. That's almost always when people say, "Oh, you've got something wrong," and they show you the Wikipedia entry that tells you got it wrong, and you can just say, "Look, just so you know, actually Wikipedia is incorrect." But your mum might have actually found a little weakness there.
She'll be very, very pleased. But she's a massive fan of the show, so there.
Well, I'm a massive fan of hers.
Will you be resigning over the mistake you've made about Margaret Banjou?
Can make no comment on that at this moment.
Okay.
I'll be making a comment tomorrow morning via the BBC.
Okay, it's a terrible thing, but they are. She's very impressive. Why is the? Why do you have a laptop that doesn't have anything on it with you on Pointless?
Such a good question.
Yeah,
such a good question. Well, just because it's television, it's quite a wide shot, so you need something in the shot. And a computer sort of makes it look as if you know what you're talking about. It gives you an air of authority.
You're not tempted to just put an actual computer there? You could at least play Hearts or something whilst you were waiting for me to give the wrong answer.
For a while, they did show occasionally they put things on it, but it's just distracting.
Right.
You know, and also make me look away from everybody. It's not at the right angle.
Couldn't they do some kind of screen like where you go like that and they're doing CSI and stuff where they're moving things around on the screen?
Yeah, I'll suggest that.
Can they suggest that?
such a good idea.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, your mum very much the brains of the family, isn't she?
She'll be very glad. You did win Heat Magazine's Weird Crush of the year 2001, which is a kind of backhanded compliment. Yeah.
It's all right. You can't say weird crush without saying crush, right?
I think that's unfair. But you are there is just looking at the internet generally. I do this generally with my guests. I go to a site called Dirty Brit Confessions, comedy version,
okay,
where people put their sexual fantasies up.
All right,
you've
this
got
is,
quite a lot
this is
just
not
on
go
the
well.
Internet generally. If you just search for your name,
really?
There's quite a lot of kind of dirty things about you.
I know. I really should stop posting those.
But these are some that people, comedy fans, have left anonymously. Okay. I want to feel Richard Osman's shapely lips all over my body.
Okay, could do that. That's all right.
Yeah, okay. Richard Osman's height excites me so much. I just know he has an enormous cock. I want to sit on it and ride him raw.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because she goes from that to complaining about Margaret of Anjou. So...
Well, I never thought I'd hear. And that is, just because someone is large, it doesn't mean their genitalia is necessarily large, Richard.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
You're quite right.
I am quite small. I have very small hands. Sorry, that wasn't a very good example. And Richard Osman has a sort of unearthly and transcendent beauty about him. And he's funny. And I want to have sex with him. It's like someone couldn't control themselves, that they were sort of writing poetry. And I want to have sex.
It's all good stuff.
That's nice.
It's all good stuff. There's fan fiction where me and Xander have sex.
I didn't bother reading.
I have not read any of it. Yeah, I've heard about it. I've seen pictures.
Yeah.
I've seen there's like people send illustrations sometimes.
I've mocked up of your faces stuck on to.
No, just really properly good drawings. Like kind of sort of manga-esque anime kind of drawings of Xander. Giving it to me,
right? It's always him giving it to you. Do you ever?
No, it's a bit of both. Yeah. If I'm honest,
if you, I don't know, you may have done this because you were at Cambridge together, and you know.
Oh please!
And you worked together. No, let's move on. I feel bad about even asking you that. So I've got this is a good question. I meant to ask this question to Sarah Millican, who was on Desert Island Discs. And I've come up with a new format that you can have. I can sell you this format.
Okay.
It's called Desert Island Dicks. Mm-hmm. But it's not what you think. It's you get a guest on every week and you ask them which 8 Richards would you take to a desert island with you, and you'd be the ideal guest because you are called Richard.
That's a really good idea.
And so
would I count though as one of the Richards?
I think you would not count as your own.
So there'd be 9 Richards.
Yeah, there'd be 9.
How
nine
about
Richards.
That?
Yeah,
that's
and
annoying,
like with Desert Island Discs, you just—I'm like the Bible and Shakespeare. You get me. You don't, just because it'd be embarrassing, because everyone would feel they had to say me.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm not
that's
saying
the first on the list.
I'm not saying I'm better than the Bible and Shakespeare combined. That is for other people to say. Which? What are your 8 favourite Richards?
8 favourite Richards. God, this is it's one of those questions that you always want to be asked. It's one of those ones that I would say Maidley.
Yeah,
it's always good. Fun. So it's going to be quite a sexist list because there's going to be no women on it.
There won't
I don't
be.
Think there are. Richard Maidley, Richard Virenc, who was a king of the mountains for many years and Tour de France, later done for drugs, like all of them. But, you know, there's a guy who could probably look after you in an emergency.
You forgive him, he might have some drugs.
And there might be a mountain on the island.
There might be.
Which he would be king of. Richard Nixon.
Yeah, good.
I'm literally, is this name 8 Richards?
It is, it's quite. The game is quite good. Can you name 8 people called Richard? And it's quite hard.
Richard Wilson.
I don't believe it.
No, I think I would. Richard, so who have I got so far?
You've got Maidley, the King Virenc. Of the Mountains, Nixon.
You've
got quite some rogues in there, Wilson.
The late Richie Manick.
Oh, yeah.
From the Manick Street Preachers. He's a
Richard. I didn't think I was ready to laugh about Richie Manick again, but you know, now him just popping up there.
And just because he liked being around everyone, Cliff Richard.
Yeah. That would be allowed.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy that.
It'd probably be good to have him out on a desert island just at the moment
as well.
Yeah, I think
so. Richie from 5.
Okay.
Richie Neville from 5.
Very good.
God, how many is that?
That's 7. You've got one more. I can't believe you've done it.
Rick Edwards.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's the same height as me. It'd be nice.
Is he?
Yeah, we could dominate.
He doesn't look like he'd be that tall.
Edwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, very tall. Huge cock.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huge cock. Your mum was telling me all about it. She's, your mum doesn't listen to this, I hope, does she?
She probably will listen to this one because you're on it. So she's going to have a little bit of a surprise after her... after 64... What's how long she's been with my dad? She's been with my dad for... 64 years. A monogamous relationship, 64 years. So it's nice to have... drone so back in sweet. Her face.
That's like someone believing in Father Christmas. It's so sweet that you would think that. I can just see the two of them listening to that by just looking at each other, just raising an eyebrow. Just saying, oh, are you going to tell them or shall I?
I did not expect Desert Island. I deliberately did a clean joke. Everyone was expecting it to be rude, and it was. And if you had to choose eight dicks to take actual cocks. No, right. I think I might have come in and pitched this to you. I'm not sure if you were there, but I had an idea about Deal or No Deal.
Okay.
Which was that there should be a late night version of it.
Yeah.
Like in the poker, where you just re-show Deal or No Deal. But you have some mathematicians and statisticians.
Some mathematicians.
Mathematicians and statisticians.
Superstitious mathematicians.
And they're
brilliant with everything apart from the number 13.
Yeah. And they do like a commentary over the top of whether what Noel Edmonds is saying has any truth to it or not. So he goes, oh, you know, that's 22's come up. That's a very unlucky box. They can go, yes, that is not true. 22 has, on average, come up the same number of times as every other box.
That's the trouble. It'd just be that the whole way through.
Yeah, it'd be good.
That's the beauty of that
show. Because it annoys me that Noel Edmonds starts ascribing magical properties to various boxes.
You know, given the prevalence of ISIS in this world, that is a good thing to get annoyed about.
It is. Like the curse of the newbie, I would like someone to come back with statistics. I'd like the statistics.
No, I can't do it either.
On that, so...
Well, the statistics are what you'd expect them to be, which is a complete, you know, 22 boxes all open randomly and equally.
But then they could do it over the last 10 goes or whatever, just to see if there's anything with it. And just a sort of so a more logical look, because I love Deal or No Deal. It's a brilliant game. Someone disagreed with me in the audience there about that. But I think it would... I don't like the magical element that Noel Edmonds projects onto it. I don't want to get rid of Noel Edmonds.
Well, if you don't believe in Noel Edmonds... But, you know, I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's the only show that I've ever made where I absolutely knew from a fact from the first time we ever played it, it would be a hit. You never know with most shows. You absolutely never know. But with that one, the second you play it, you just think people are going to love this, which for a couple of years they did. not so much now, but that's all right. It's still going, though, right? It is still going, yeah. Amazing.
Because I used to watch it all the time, and then there wasn't enough people saying, actually, Noel, you're wrong about that. There is no curse of the newbie.
Yeah, so numbers have no memory.
Yeah. But apart from that, no, it's a very exciting game. Okay, so that's not going to happen either.
I think it would be the same thing. I'll take your idea seriously if you want.
It's like a late-night version. I thought you'd like... I came in to Endemol to pitch this.
You didn't talk to me, I don't think.
I don't know. I couldn't remember who I talked to, because I, you know, the thing with executives...
Yeah.
I just forget
them all. Did you talk to a young guy wearing a tabard with a broom?
It might have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you're a TV star, I'd recognise you.
Yeah.
When you were just an executive, yeah. I'm like, there was a really tall bloke in there. I might have done that, but you would have been sitting down anyway, so I wouldn't have necessarily noticed. They said you could do that. We wouldn't let you do it, but if you wanted to do that on your own on the internet, you can do it.
That's a good note, whoever gave that.
And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I actually was called in for a meeting. It's like they've done two meetings like that are basically me taking a joke and it haven't been taken seriously, so I have to go in for a meeting.
That's my entire career.
And the other one was when I had to go and meet Maurice Grant because he wrote Birds of a Feather and Goodnight Sweetheart, and I'd had the idea of doing a remake of Goodnight Sweetheart in which a man who was a comedy writer finds a passage back to the set of from now to the set of Goodnight Sweetheart. And it is a good idea, but sort of, you know, I don't think it's ever going to get made. But I had to go in for a meeting with Maurice Grant to discuss it. And part of it comes from the fact that I think Goodnight Sweetheart isn't very good and is a poorly explored idea. So I had to talk to him about going, and he'd read articles I'd written about. I said, yeah, the thing is, I mean, I'm sort of a fan of Goodnight Sweetheart, and I've watched it all. But you know, it takes an interesting proposition and doesn't really explore
You've really got to learn how to do a meeting.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that to him, but that was the undercurrent of all. So would you like to make, I'd call it Goodnight, Goodnight, Sweetheart, Sweetheart.
Would I like to make? Would I like to go to Morris Grand, buy the rights for Goodnight Sweet Love off Morris Grand, so you could make that?
He said that he doesn't own the rights completely anymore, but he reckoned they probably would do it.
No.
Okay. I'd be in it playing the man who goes back.
Yeah, no, I can see that. That was one. If you get like Stuart Lee, someone like that, maybe as the man, that would be interesting. No, but you could see that, couldn't you? Because of his timing and all that kind of. He'd be funny. No, but you know what I mean, though, because you know. You're more of the sort of bumbling one, whereas he would get in there, you know, just with that very sharp way he has, and just, you know, with the gags, and just get in there. And that thing would be, actually, the more I think about it, I tell you what he'd be very good doing, actually, is like an acerbic voiceover on Deal or No Deal. I might talk to him after this.
Good.
I'm happy to share the rights with him.
I'm happy to give him the work. And this is my other idea, this is my genuine idea that I think's good.
Okay.
This is a panel show called Intellectuals and Idiots.
Yep.
One team is people who went to university, celebrities who went to university, and one team is celebrities who didn't go to university. Mm-hmm. And then they have to compete in various tasks to find out which is better, the University of Life or the University of Oxbridge.
Okay.
And that's the game.
Who's hosting? Stuart Lee? I think you can see that. I mean, that's quite an old one.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I thought of it in 1990.
It's from the early 40s.
Okay.
I think we pitched that as university challenged.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I'll get back to the drum. Have you got any ideas of how I could get onto proper telly rather than doing this?
Well, you're coming back on Point to Celebrity.
I am. For briefly,
that's got 6.5 million on Saturday. That's proper. That's kind of Russ Abbott's Madhouse numbers. So that's good, isn't
it? That's what I'm aiming for.
No, you have to stop pretending. You have to stop saying that things are proper telly these days. We have to pretend to be young and say no. Of course, it's YouTube much more important than BBC Two. This guy, look at the views this guy got for his he was eating lunch, and a million people have seen it over the last year. You go, 7 million people watched Countryfile yesterday. And that was about a sheep.
I'll just carry on doing this and see where it leads. I thought it would have got further than this. This is like the 54th one or something.
You know, keep at it. That's the thing. As a TV exec, I'm so jealous of people. Whenever you watch those, the history of TV and the history of game shows and stuff, there's always like... you know, you get Brucey and say, "Oh, we're doing Generation Game, and no one was really watching it. You know, no one watched it. Anyway, we're on the 8th series. So no one had watched it for 7 series. We're on the 8th series, and ITV went on strike, so there's literally nothing else on television. So 35 million people watched it. And from that moment on, we were fine. And you think, God, like that. Those were the days, weren't they? Literally nothing else on.
It would be good, yeah. It was the same happened with Only Fools and Horses, basically, didn't it? Because of the Olympics... being cancelled or whatever it was.
Canceled. You remember when the Olympics were cancelled?
They cancelled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't ask me any sports questions next week. If it comes up with sports, could you just flip it?
No, that's
flip
why
the imaginary computer.
That's
on.
Why there's no 1983 Olympics if you look it up. No, it's exactly that. So many of those shows went forever and ever, no one watching them, and then suddenly industrial action or the Olympics being cancelled. That time the horse became Pope. You know those things happen.
If you had to choose between having an armpit that dispensed sun cream or a hand made out of ham, which of those two things
would you choose?
If you had to choose, and you were going to be given one, your hand would be made of ham. You could eat it, but it would grow back.
It would grow back.
Yeah, but if you ate it all, it would take a while to grow back. Or a sun cream, just enough sun cream for you and one family member for a year would be produced by your armpit.
But and would you have control over it?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. There'd be a nozzle.
That's not even a question.
It is a very good question.
That's great. You would have the free sun cream.
Would you though?
Yeah. Who would take a vote in the audience? See who would go for
who would. We haven't done that. Who would cheer if you would take the sun cream? Cheer! They put the lights up slightly as well. This is exciting. Cheer if you would take whatever the other one. Oh, the ham hand.
Hands.
Free ham! Free ham on your hand.
Yeah, how much ham do you need?
Well, not that much. A hand's worth a handful.
I think sun cream is more expensive than ham. Yeah, there you go. Changing your tune now, aren't you?
But it's not always about money, Richard.
Well, then why say free ham?
Because it's still free. because it's not about money. Some people, we don't go out in the sun that much and really like eating. So that was
true. Although, yeah. Can I say, genuinely, quite a culturally insensitive question.
Yes, it is. But it's an interesting question, because is ham that's been grown out of your own hand, would that count as being, it tastes exactly like ham and it would look like ham, but it's not, no pig has died for it, it hasn't come from a pig, so is it culturally insensitive? It might be Jews.
So you're saying that Jews and Muslims would eat human flesh?
Their own human flesh.
I think they've got a prohibition against that as well.
Their own flesh.
I'm no theologian.
All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How about this one then? So you know there's a game show in Ham Hand versus that was an
easy,
Cream.
Well, that was an easy one, I think.
Given there was a game show, and which isn't that unlike Deal or No Deal, but is quite like, there was Justin Lee Collins, Heads or Tails. Was that one of yours?
Absolute, no. Goodness me, no. Absolute zenith of Deal or No Deal rip-offs. There were a lot. We made a few of them. And that was the worst.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Because I think that was like even a joke on something like Chris Morris, or wasn't it? Someone had done it.
Peter
Sarafinowicz had done it as a sketch, and then it came out with Justin Lee Collins hosting it as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, now it takes on a different different feeling. Heads or tails, it's your choice. But one of them's... still on FUBAR Radio, I understand. Is he still going?
Yeah.
Yes. Fucking hell. I'm still on FUBAR Radio, apparently, as well. But it's me in the past being repeated. Okay, try this one. If you had to choose between dating a man who was a 6 foot tall penis.
Who was a 6 foot tall penis, all right.
Just he was a penis, 6 foot tall, could move around, but was a penis.
Yeah.
He might wear a suit, shoulders, but would that be
yeah,
hiding?
Yeah, he's arm. I can picture him, yeah.
Or a normal man.
I find it very easy to picture him.
Okay. I mean, for you, you're the first person, I think, I've asked this question, who that would be, the right height for you today.
Yeah.
So smaller than you. You're quite tall. I don't know if I told you.
Yeah.
But you're not the tallest person we've had on here, or you're the equal tallest.
Really, who's that?
Stephen Merchant.
Yeah, he's tall.
And Greg Davies.
He's that lanky kid, isn't he? Yeah, Greg's taller than me, actually. Yeah. It's quite something, isn't it?
We like having very tall people on here, just to accentuate how that I am not very tall. So if you had to choose between a man who was a 6 foot penis or an ordinary man, I nearly said normal man, and I think that is insulting to 6 foot tall penis people who are listening. Instead of a penis, he has a tiny man.
Yeah.
In place of that, which of the two would you prefer to date?
So a man who
is
a 6 foot penis,
yeah,
or a man who has a tiny man
instead of a penis.
Instead of a penis. I always like that joke when people ask about cock size, which they often do, especially late in the evenings, about the guy who's about to take a girl, the very tall guy is about to take a girl home. And he says, look, before I take you home, I need to tell you something. I've got a cock the size of a six-year-old. She goes, what, like that? He goes, no, like that. I think that a lot of dating sometimes... I think sometimes... Right, I'm going to go with the guy who has the man as the penis, just because just because it'd be less embarrassing to be in a restaurant with him.
That's,
do you know what I mean? You can go to a nice restaurant, people go, oh, they seem nice, because no one knows he's got a tiny man as a penis.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're with a six-foot penis, people are going, that was fucking weird when Richard from Pointless came in with that guy who was a six-foot penis, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I think, that's quite
but
an easy one.
But wouldn't it be weird if, during the date, the little penis man pops up from behind the table and starts asking you about Pointless or something? Then they'll go, that was weird when that guy that Richard Austin was with had a tiny man who was a penis who started talking to him.
Hold on, if that's a genuine question, then there's a possibility you think I would think that wouldn't be weird. It's possibly I'd go, no, that would be fairly... That'd be fairly normal, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be weird. Okay. I'll give you that. But less weird, I think, than sitting and having a conversation saying, oh, so what university did you go to? That's interesting. And I don't know, I genuinely think after the first album, I don't think the Killers were quite as good a band. You're still a penis. You're still a six-foot penis. Okay.
You wouldn't bring it up, though?
Would I bring it up?
Would you say... would you ask... At what point do you think you would say in the day, how come you're a six-foot penis? Do you say it early on, or go, do you come from a family of penises? Or
well, I think I would know, unless it's a blind date organised by a friend, and a former friend, you would know before. You're not going to hide that on Tinder, are you?
But you're
a friend of mine had a date the other day. She had a date with a guy from Tinder, and she said he was wearing sunglasses. She said she turned up and he was Chinese, and she had no idea. Well, that was quite sweet. So it turned out she's looking around the restaurant for this guy, and there's this Chinese guy, and it was him. Because he wore sunglasses.
Yeah. And she was slightly racist.
Hey, not slightly.
I have some questions from some 12-year-old Welsh boys who write some questions for me.
All right.
I have no control over these questions.
Okay, so you did have control over the last question.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was my question.
Yeah, okay, yeah, all right.
The standard's going to drop a little.
Who are they, these? Are they real?
They're the friends and son of the... Chris Evans, not that one, who is from Go Faster Stripe, who makes this podcast. But Chris Evans, not that one, isn't here today. He's in Wales.
Yeah.
With his son, Ben Evans. And I'll ask you Ben Evans' question. Ben Evans asked the question that made Stephen Fry open up and admit that he'd had a bad year. It was a very... Very moving time. So you have to be careful with Ben Evans' questions.
Okay, so this might be the one where what, I finally crack. Yeah.
What was up with Prize Island?
That, Ben, is a terrific question. Now, that's one of those things. It's difficult working in... I say it's difficult working in telly. It's really easy. But sometimes things happen in telly. So that was actually my idea, I think, Prize Island. And... just had a thought of doing a game show where you know, win a prize, you have to the game itself is to find the prize. Mm-hmm. It came from that Michael McIntyre joke, which I've always liked. He said why do they have a medal ceremony at the 100 metres? Why don't they hold the gold medal at the end of the track and whoever gets it wins it? And I thought we'll do a show based on that and do it on a kind of tropical island. And as soon as you do that, you think, well, what's the worst that can happen here is we get to go out to a tropical island for a few months. And I only went out for a week. It was an island off Mozambique. And it was absolutely lovely. It really was. But the show itself, it didn't have enough... I mean, if you want to know the truth, Ben, and you're 12, you should know the truth. It didn't have enough money. So it didn't look good enough. And, you know, it was supposed to be like Total Wipeout, which we also make. But it was a tenth of the price.
Right.
So it wasn't as good. Yeah. That's a boring answer, isn't it?
No, it's good to know
but
the truth.
But I got a free 10 days in Mozambique for it. Xander was out there for like 4 months or something with Emma Willis. That's nice, isn't it?
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too shabby. But I'm glad that's ITV and not BBC, because I don't feel quite so bad about wasting their money, because that's just advertisers.
That's true.
I don't like having a flop on the BBC, because genuinely I feel you think that's awful.
Yeah.
Because people have paid for it.
That's true. So yeah, we do own these shows. We own Pointless. So it's,
yes, you do.
It's wrong that you make us pay for the app.
All profits go back into... Actually, not all profits.
Into your
Some
pocket.
Profits go back to the BBC.
Okay. Evan Warburton Do you get many
Evan
people?
Warburton.
Evan Warburton. Warburton.
Okay, so he's got like a... All right. I just think of the surname thing.
Yeah. Do you get many people joking about your show being called Pointless because there's a double meaning to it? I don't know if you've noticed that.
Somebody should, shouldn't they?
They should, because the danger is someone might see that and go, you're thinking, oh, no points. But they could say it's pointless.
I can honestly, say... I still, to this day, get about 500 tweets a day saying, that's pointless, your team are pointless, that was a bit of a pointless tweet.
Yeah.
These celebrities actually are pointless, so the title Pointless Celebrities has an irony you haven't spotted. People do say, did you not think of that when you came up with the title? You think, what, did we come up with the title Pointless Celebrities and not kind of go, this has a like a second meaning to it? No, I get it an awful lot. But that's okay.
Does it get funnier every time you hear it?
I'm going to go so far as to say it gets less funny.
Okay.
Slightly less funny.
Maybe it'll get to a point, though, where it starts to get really funny again. That is so the Stuart Lee philosophy.
We're still waiting, Stu.
I might have talked to you about this before, but it's like, for me, now, Lord Alan Sugar, who goes on Twitter and is an idiot on Twitter all the time and says stupid things, and people all the time tweet him, "You're fired." And then he'll tweet back going, oh, you plonker, do you think no one's ever said this to me? But his reaction makes it much funnier. So I think a lot of people go on saying it knowing that they're... I don't think people do it to you with the pointless
thing. I really try and not respond to that in any way whatsoever.
So it becomes to the point where I think, you know, everyone should go to Lord Alan Sugar and go, you're fired, to him.
Oh, definitely.
All the time.
It's like poor old Gary Lineker told an anecdote about doing a poo on the pitch once. He literally, every single tweet he gets now, someone says, you shut yourself on the pitch. Right. Every single tweet. Do you just think that, you see the regret in every tweet he sends back?
Yeah, I tweet terrible things. No one remembers. And Nikki Tsoi. Tsoi. T-S-O-I. Nikki Tsoi.
Nikki Tsoi.
Tsoi.
Nice.
How many years have you been in Pointless?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a nice question.
That's a really good question. 5 years now.
5 years.
Five years.
Answer to that question.
And hopefully lots more to come. We shall see.
Well, after the Margaret of Anjou debacle, we will see whether...
It's Margaret of Anjou.
Oh, fucking hell. Just testing.
Just so your mum just shaking her head now. So first the monogamy thing, now Margaret of Anjou.
And you did a World Cup of Chocolate, which is my kind of, that's my kind of thing. I like this. So how did that work?
Yeah, it's good. Well, I picked the 32 most popular chocolate bars that you get in...
In the world?
Well, no, in the UK. So
it was a kind of misnomer then?
News agents' chocolate bars.
Okay.
Do you know what? No, all right.
It was
the UK,
an FA Cup of...
It was an FA Cup. I called it the World Cup. It's just branding.
Okay.
It's just branding. Like University Challenged, for example. Yeah. That's a good branding. And so we took the 32 best. I put them in 8 groups of 4, and everybody voted on Twitter for a week. And then we had 8 winners of those groups, the 2 winners of each group. Then we had quarterfinals, semifinals, and a final. And the final was Twirl against Maltesers.
Maltesers, that's... Yeah. Well, tricky.
And I remember who won, but I'm happy to retake that vote here.
Yeah, shall we do it? See what the game, the audience involved.
Format.
Yeah. Who would choose? The lights have gone up again. It's kind of horrific when you see them. I imagine it's a similar audience to the Pointless audiences, a similar demographic to mine. Who would choose Maltesers? Cheer now. Quite a lot. That's going to be hard to beat.
It's going to be hard
to
beat.
But, you know, you've set that level, so if you like Twirl, just shout a bit louder.
Yeah.
who would choose Twirl?
Oh, I think that was Maltesers in
I
the
think
room.
It was.
It was Twirl in the actual World Cup, which just goes to show sometimes it's who's best on the day.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And Twirl won it. But honestly, since there have been some proper great new chocolate bars coming out. I've got to say, the best chocolate bar, in my opinion, currently, and I've held this opinion for about 9 or 10 months now, which is quite a long time for a chocolate bar, is the Cadbury's Magnificent Creations.
Oh, really?
The popping candy. And anyone? There's a few. I wasn't as enthusiastic as perhaps Cadbury's would have liked, but that I think is the best chocolate bar out there currently.
How many bucks? It's so I like sweet things. I find it just too. I've had it once, and I just it was too much for me.
So who would win if it was a Eurovision Song Contest of chocolate? So you've got to vote.
I like a green and black butterscotch.
Come on, proper chocolate. You can't do that. You can't do that.
I like the Hotel Chocolat. it's very difficult. I think at the moment, I think Dime Bar is the one.
Dime Bar?
Yeah.
Goodness.
It's partly because it's only 180 calories.
Oh, yeah, that's what people look for on a chocolate bar.
But I like butterscotch. That's hence and it's got a bit of chocolate on it.
Tiny bit of chocolate.
And it lasts a little while if you suck on it.
I think it got knocked out in the first round in the World Cup of Chocolate. We did the World Cup of Crisps as well.
Did you?
It was even more popular, yeah. And that was the final. Guess what the final of that was? We included anything in the crisp bar, so it's not just...
Monster Munch Pickled Onion.
Knocked out in the semi-finals. Oh. Unbelievable. I know, they were big, big pre-tournament. They were the Brazil of the piece, and it was honestly... Twitter went into meltdown when they got knocked out.
I like the... what they called? The square ones.
Square crisps.
Squares, yeah. Smith squares.
No, nothing doing. Nothing from square. I mean, knocked out in the group.
I like salt and vinegar. That's some very.
Well, salt and vinegar is the best flavour of crisps. Everyone knows that. No, the final was Frazzles.
Yeah. No, people.
You can't rewrite history, you know. Was Frazzles against Wotsits?
Yeah. See, if you had a ham hand, you could just choose Wotsits and have both. Just put your hand under a toaster for a bit.
Yeah, you could do. But I have to say, in that particular fight, I'd vote Wotsits, but Frazzles won it. Frazzles won it. There's some happiness there.
I'm surprised for Frazzles. Nah, it's a flash in the pan. It's like cheesy moments.
I'll say something about crisps, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, again, you can get expensive versions of crisps at Marks and all that kind of stuff. And usually they're very, very good. There's one type of crisp, where the cheaper the packet is, the better it is. Every single time, the cheaper the version, the tastier they are. And that is salt and vinegar chipsticks.
Yes.
The cheaper you get, the better. Yeah. I know, we've been there, right? Yeah.
I think you could start doing a stand-up career on that. That's pretty good. That's got as much a reaction as you need for stand-up.
Yeah, I'll give it a
go. Observation, it's good. We did it on our radio show. We tried to find the nation's favourite chew bar, and I believe...
Chew bar?
Chew bar, like a bar, like a chew.
Oh, I thought you meant like a musical instrument.
The winner, I think, was the Stinger bar. I think that one. Is that right? Anyone remember?
The what?
From 1992. Right, yeah. The Stinger, it's like a green thing with like pink inside. It's a bit like a... my chew knowledge has gone down. I don't eat chews anymore. What's the yellow one with the... Refresher. It's a bit like a refresher, but it's a bit more sour.
Yeah, there comes a point with your teeth where they're just a childhood memory, aren't they?
It's gone. It's
nothing
over.
You can do. It's so nervous. It's like climbing a mountain or something.
Yeah. I'll sometimes eat... sweet cigarettes that are no longer sweet cigarettes. They're just sweet candy sticks.
Oh, really? I have the electronic sweet cigarettes these days.
And I sometimes eat Love Hearts.
Yeah, Love Hearts are good.
And every time, as I explained in a previous podcast, every time I go to a motorway service station, I steal one pick and mix from every single one. And so by the end of the tour, I'm hoping I will have made several hundred pounds worth of... Because they're really expensive.
So just one from each little bin?
I know, I just take one sweet.
Okay.
Sometimes two if they're really not looking. I want to see if I get caught and what they do if they catch me. And I'm so cocky about my crime. I'm like a master criminal who's now taunting.
No, you say that.
I'm taunting the pick and mix. Although none of these have gone out yet. So I can still... I took one the other day and thought, I wonder if anyone's been listening to the podcast, they'll see me steal this. But I'm taunting them now by saying in the podcast that I am doing that. And I will continue to do it. And you will never catch me, boss. I've probably had... You know, those motorway service stations, they're really expensive. It's £1.69 for 100 grams. And that's not very much. That used to get like a quarter of a pound of sweets for 2 gold pence.
It'd be so brilliant if you genuinely got caught and arrested.
Yeah,
and
taken it would.
And people say, and it was like former TV comic Richard Herring in court for. You just think, oh my God, that's awful.
I think it's a win-win situation because if I don't get caught, I get loads of free sweets.
Yeah.
If I do get caught, it'd be really funny to that I will be if they press charges and I will refuse. They say we'll let you go if you pay or we'll let you go with caution. I go no. I want to. I am on my way to Loughborough to do a gig. It will be very inconvenient. I want to be arrested.
Yeah, do that.
Because also, you know, who's the criminal, Richard? Is it me?
Or is it Mr. Treeball?
Is it their persons for £1.69 for often quite stale sweets?
Who makes Pick a Mix?
I don't know.
Candy King.
No, but that's just the brand. Who actually makes them? That's a branding phrase. But you know, is it like one company makes all of them?
You seem to know a lot about Pick and Mix at the front there, sir. You were very confident a minute ago, and then Richard Osman said no. He doesn't even know about the mother of Henry VII, whoever it was. He knows nothing.
They're the number one supplier.
How do you know so much about it? Have you been sent here by the Pick and Mix people to hear my confession? Because I could just... There could be a policeman in the audience. He could just come and make a... I've confessed.
I know that Candy King's mum was Margaret of Anjou. I know that. But that's weird, isn't it? Because they're not branded at all. So there's a big factory somewhere turning all those sweets that are very familiar to us, but that they're sort of off-brand sweets, aren't they?
Yeah, they are a little bit. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I do. They're kind of they have like licorice all sorts, but they're not Bassett's.
They are not Bassett's,
they're definitely
my friend.
Not Bassett's.
They are really not.
Yeah, so it's very low quality, often slightly stale.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to say, if I get caught, I'm going to go. I was just testing it to see how stale they were, and they were stale. Like, so I'm not going to buy them.
Like squeezing a mango in a supermarket.
Yeah, and then I say, if you arrest me, I'm going to tell the country that your Pick and Mix are stale. But now I've said that, again, they have taped evidence that I'm lying.
But it'd be a great new episode of Sherlock. That's a Christmas special, isn't it? Right there.
All right, let me see what else I've got to talk to you about, because time has been flying by. Done the mum's complaint, that was the important thing. Have you heard Helen Arney's song, I Think I'm in Love with Richard Osman?
I have not had that pleasure.
Well, you've got to listen to that, that's good. That's worth checking out.
She thinks she is. To me, that's a bit wishy-washy. I'd listen if she is, then fine, I'll give it a listen. I think I am. Fuck you.
She's nice, Helen.
Come on. Commit.
Yeah. She has just got engaged to... She's shared my flat in Edinburgh for a week.
Yeah.
And became engaged in Edinburgh, so...
Jesus,
you're going to have to make your move quick if you're going to...
I should do that. Do you know? Yeah. Who's she engaged to?
I should know that because I shared a flat with him in Edinburgh.
Oh, lovely guy. Lovely guy, right?
He was a nice guy.
Stevie John James.
Might be that. You know.
Yeah, the big guy, little guy.
He sent me the money for the flat.
Yeah.
I should just have You know, the other day, Andy Parsons was on my final FUBAR show and said, we're talking because we used to share a flat in Acton in 1990. And he said, of course, we shared a flat in Edinburgh 1 year. And I went, yeah, that's right. We certainly did. I just think I don't remember anything. I just think it kind of gets blanks from my mind. That might be a good pointless round.
What's the round?
Flatmates of Richard Herring in Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, you know what? You'd still get knocked out.
What?
You go, I'm going to go, this is a good one for me. I'm going to go for Brian Ferry.
Is there another series of Two Tribes in the pipeline?
There is another series of Two Tribes in the pipeline, yeah.
That's good news.
About to do 60 more of them.
60?
Yeah, that's how we operate. We did 30 first time round and 60 this time
round. So Two Tribes, the idea is that people get divided into teams based on their answer to a question.
Yeah, based on a yes-no answer. Do you believe in ghosts? Are you single? Yeah. All that kind of stuff.
Do you believe in ghosts? Good question. Do you ever... I've only seen it once and I enjoyed it.
What, out of 30 episodes, you saw it once?
I'm out.
You saw it once. You know what? Every single fucking episode of this I've seen. Every one of them. And you've seen one episode of that.
Yeah, that's probably the same, isn't it? Does it ever get to be... I'd like to see it like one person against four people, or is it always two against three?
It's always...
I'll make it one against four. It'd be brilliant.
Okay.
Thanks. That was the only thing that I thought... You know what would be a good theme tune for Two Tribes? Two Tribes by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I don't know if you thought about that.
Yeah, no one had ever suggested that. Okay. No, I'd love to. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
Too expensive. That's telly. If it was ITV, it would be Two Tribes.
I'd do a theme tune for you if you like, that's similar to but different. I'd do it now if you like.
What?
There are two tribes, with one of them likes ghosts, one of them doesn't. For example, that's just an example, it changes each time. Who will be the best? Let's wait to find out. Here's your host, Richard Osman.
That's really good. And then maybe there may be a two bar solo and we're in.
You can have that for free. Can you put that in? Can you use that just 1 week?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, 60 of them.
If we ever win a BAFTA, I will do that the next week.
Okay. Oh, dear. It's hard coming up with questions. We haven't talked that much about Pointless, really. Which, you know, but there is a long chat with me and you and Alexander Armstrong about Pointless on the Apple Store.
Oh, so nice to have a little chat with that in here, isn't it?
It is.
It's all me with him.
He did ruin it. But, you know, are you related to William the Conqueror? No, you are not.
No. So, well, everyone is, really. Do you know what I mean? There's some shenanigans going on with his Who Do You Think You Are, don't you think?
Yeah.
If you go back that far, we're all related to William the Conqueror.
Well, we're all related to everyone, because there aren't. It doesn't grow exponentially, doesn't it? If you go back, there would be 100 billion people, so they're all in your own family tree. My problem with family trees is they go back through the male line,
yeah,
which is a mistake.
Okay.
Because probably one in four people don't have the father they think they have.
Well, listen, it feels like this whole podcast has been about your mum, but...
So it should go back through the female line, where you're going to be
well,
pretty
you know,
certain.
Yeah, you're sure.
You know, unless there's been a lie and someone said, oh, yes, I am your mum, and it's your grandma's your mum or something. But it pretty much, you know what, it's usually the other way around, to be fair. It's usually your grandma was pretending to be your mum and your mum is your sister, isn't it, when those things happen?
Me, yeah.
Yeah. But you can be dead sure that your mother... So it infuriates me. I'm going to start doing my family tree, but I'm going to do it through the female line, and the male line is an unimportant scene.
But I think the trouble is it's almost impossible to do that. That's the point, because of the way records used to be kept.
Don't care. The records have to change.
All right. Very best of luck.
Thank you.
Honestly thinking, I'm only sticking around in show business on the vague chance I get famous enough to go on Who Do You Think You Are.
You could definitely get on that. That's what I said that. Sarah Millican had done it the other week.
And I
said the only reason I want to get properly on TV and famous again is so I can do... When I say again, is to do that, because I'd love to do that.
I'd love to do that.
Yours would be amazing.
Thanks. It might not be. I've got one famous relative who I already know about, so they could go via there, which is also a woman actually, so you could actually go via the female line. And that's from, I'm trying to think exactly when it's from, but she was from Anjou, she's called my Auntie Margaret.
We're all related to her, everyone's related to her eventually. It'd be good to be on that. Al Murray's related to William Thackeray, of course.
Is he?
Yeah, but he's not going to be on.
See, because unbelievable! What a part timer. Because my surname Osman is it's a Muslim surname. It's a Turkish surname.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So you'd be people going. So I get stopped every time I go to the States. I get stopped and questioned, despite my swarthy Middle Eastern looks. I always get taken into the back room with the guys with the guns, and they question me.
But because
of the surname,
I tried to come up with terrorist atrocities mainly to stop them happening.
Good idea.
But also, you know, it'd be fun if one of mine got through. Just be fun to know that was my idea.
If one of yours got through.
If Al Qaeda selected one of mine to do it, I've had quite a few good ones.
Okay.
But I put them out there so that CIA can or whoever can get them as well. But it'd be quite good to have like a little man hiding inside a gigantic man. You could be like, I'm not saying you. I mean, it could be like they could literally hollow out a real gigantic man and live inside him.
Yeah.
Or the gigantic man could be a false gigantic man.
Yeah.
And it's just operated by a small man inside. But if you do that, don't call the giant man Osman, because you'll get
stopped at the airport.
Yeah, so that's the
I honestly hope that the terrorists of the world do think in the way that you do.
I do.
We will be safe if so.
Well, actually, Arnold Schwarzenegger does it in Total Recall, doesn't he? Does the same thing. Except he's a gigantic man hiding inside a gigantic woman in Total Recall. Are you a fan of Total Recall?
Do you know, I've never seen it. But the one thing I know about Total Recall is that's the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography, which is a very good name, isn't it?
It is. And it's also what I don't have when I'm on Pointless.
I am looking forward to next week.
It's going to be so bad if it... Really, can you just... If you knew that failure would actually literally make me die,
yeah,
would you, in order to save my life, would you just slip me just the first round question, just knowing that that would save my life, or would your morality of the impeachability? I said I wasn't tired today, but I can't fucking form a single word.
So if you knew you could save my life, you would die.
Yeah.
If I didn't help you out.
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you?
47.
No, I think I'd probably let you go. You know, if it was a youngster, if it was a Robert Webb type, I might go, actually. You know, I think he's got more work to do on this world as well, yeah. I think, Robert. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to be responsible for the cancellation of Neville's Island.
That's true. That is true. That's a good point. If you want to know more about Pointless, you can listen to the Apple Store one. There was my favourite thing about it was... There was Bobby Ball being asked a question, words ending in son, S-O-N.
S-O-N, yeah.
And then he said Appleson.
Yeah.
Which meant that Lee Mack, who was a big fan, it came back to him and everyone else had got under 100, so he'd already lost.
He'd already gone home. It took him 3 hours to get there, three hours to get back, just to hear Bobby Ball say Appleson.
But if that had been the correct word, and I watched the clip. The clip is online because a fan of Busted, whoever it was, McFly, whoever it was, has put up everything, but it doesn't have the end because they all get knocked out. Spoiler alert, they all get knocked out by the final round.
Oh, do they? So they just leave it then, they?
And then it cuts back to them singing the song at the end. Song, so yeah. I don't know how Esther Ranson and Terry Wogan did. They started very strongly. They started so strongly that it felt to me like beforehand someone had just said... Just Terry and Esther, we're just going to let you know the first round is words ending in son.
No, some people are just clever.
They came up with a very good one. Well, whore son.
Whore son.
Whore son.
Okay, was that Terry?
Terry Wogan came up with whore son. There you
go. No surprises there.
And I can't remember what it said. How did they get on? Do you remember how they got on?
Well, in the very final. Yeah, I remember how they got on. Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, we haven't done 800 of these. I remember every one of them.
It was Terry Wogan and Esther Ranson. That's a special moment.
I think they got through to the final. Yeah. The Busted guys were on that show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. And Lee Mack and Bobby Ball.
That's right.
Yeah, I think they didn't win the jackpot.
Okay.
But they might have done.
Okay.
I can't remember.
If anyone can remember, let me know. Because it was exciting and then it got cut off by the Busted fans. Okay. Right. I'll ask you, have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
Well, that's which team you'd be
for a very
on.
Good reason.
Why is that?
Well, because there aren't any ghosts.
Aren't there?
Well, because the world would be a very different place if there were ghosts. I mean, that's just...
What if there were just some ghosts?
Well, 6 billion people have died.
Yeah.
Who you says know what? They all at some point, back? One of them would... No, well, they're not all going to come back, but right. Even if 0.0001% of them came back and decided that instead of actually standing at the bottom of a child's bed in a creaky house, might just... Come and watch Richard Herring or sit on the sofa on The One Show. Just go do something. You know, they obviously have a message to get across. I would say do it in the most visible way you can. Honestly, don't just go F to someone from Liverpool, like a con man from Liverpool. Just turn up somewhere. Turn up at George Clooney's wedding, you know, and say something. So I think the world would be a very, very different place. And there's clearly, obviously, there's no evidence there aren't any ghosts because it would be impossible. It would be impossible to disprove a negative. But there would be so much evidence that there were ghosts, so almost endless evidence that there were ghosts. So I'm afraid I refuse to accept that there are.
Okay.
Sorry, not fun, not funny, but it has some accuracy to it.
Have you ever seen a Sasquatch Bigfoot?
Have I ever seen one?
Yeah.
Never seen one. Heard one. Oh, yeah. Heard one. Ran like crazy.
You heard one?
Yeah, I was in Nepal.
Right.
I was on K2, if that's in Nepal.
It's working. Oh, he's making up. Hold on. Yeah, you're on K2.
Yeah. We were climbing. I don't know if you know the east face of K2, yeah. Which is... dangerous at the best of times. Anyway, we're on a snow field.
Yeah.
There's a quite a shallow snow field that leads up to the to that ridge. And I'm hearing the background, just hearing this noise, and I'm thinking it's George who I climb with. Yeah. And I go, because he's a big lad, George. And so I go, pachum, pachum, pachum. So I'm hearing over there, and then, Jesus, you know what I see coming out of our tent?
What?
George.
Right.
So he ain't behind me. And George, it's like that. I just go, George, run. So he just ran. And we heard Sasquatch going, but didn't take a photo, nothing. So I heard him, never saw him.
Wow.
Heard one, never
that
saw him.
That is quite an answer. I hope that turns up in the tabloids in the week this comes out. That has definitely happened. Thank you very much to my guests.
Oh, pleasure.
Richard Osman.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Richard Osman. The music is by Pess. Thank you very much to Orange Mark and everyone at the British Comedy Guide and to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre and all the crew of Go Faster Strike, who have nothing at all to do with this audio version, apart from possibly George, who works in sound. No, even he has nothing to do with it. It was produced by Dave Cribb, and it's a Go Faster. All thanks to Chris Evans, not that one as well, it's just because he's not here, but I forgot about him. It's a Go Faster Stripe Fuzz, even though he's not here either. He's fucked off because his wife's having a baby, as if that's more important than comedy. And Sky Potato Production. Hooray! Thank you for listening. Goodbye. Hey, hope you enjoyed my podcast. If you did, you can make contributions lots of different ways. Why not go to gofasterstrike.com and buy a DVD? gofasterstrike.com/badges, buy a badge. Ideally, get a monthly subscription of £1, and that will help us to make other stuff, and you get lots of benefits as well. Or come and see me on tour, richardherring.com/gigs. Thanks for watching and or listening. See you next time. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.